Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
And welcome, everyone, to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have a two-man booth this week. DJ is not feeling well, so it is me and Jason here. And I've already forgotten, like, the nice flowery intros that DJ always has for us. So it is Jason and I here this week.
You know what? We don't need any sick intros, any crazy intros. He's the master of intros, the master of ceremonies. Folks yep. know what to expect at this point when it's just us. So, you know, we're glad everyone's here. Thank you for bearing with us. DJ, we love you. Please feel better, brother. And welcome, everybody, to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Yes. Look, they could just play the Blues Brothers theme at the beginning, when they show Jake Elwood and then the Blues Brothers, and then, you know, without all the intros or anything, that's us. So, this past weekend, we had SummerSlam. That's going to be a big topic here for us this week, as it is on virtually every other wrestling podcast you will listen to this week, I'm sure. Jason and I also have a lot to say about the man who returned at the end of the show. And I put out a little prediction on Twitter about one of the other competitors on the show, about where I think he may end up going over the next few months. So we're going to go through all of those things, and if by some chance either of us thinks of anything else to say, we'll talk about that too. And so let's kick things off with SummerSlam, which is the biggest party of the summer, as they always call it. That was this past Saturday, and it was a big party.
Emanating from the Cleveland Browns Stadium out of Cleveland, Ohio, and I don't know if they said they were a sellout, but... It was 57,000 was the attendance, according to Wikipedia. 57,791. I don't know where that is for Cleveland Brown Stadium, but it was hella loud in there at points.
Yeah. So it wasn't a sellout because I don't think so. Because I think the seat watching nerds were commenting. Well, I mean,
WWE would have had a whole segment about it if it was a sellout.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, of course, yeah, the seat watching nerds. See, there's empty sections over there. You know, those people were all, you know, they're always out to just to notice.
They're out to ruin our fun, Rob. They're going to ruin our fun, and we're not going to let that happen. So let's go right into the card, because this card was fucking awesome. Like, it was, I'm just quickly skimming it, and it was, I don't know if I could say they were all bangers, but I would watch all of those matches again. If someone was like, hey, you want to watch this match? I'd be like, sure, let's do it.
Well, also, there was nothing bad. SummerSlam is usually an up and down card.
Yeah.
There's usually, there'll be like two or three, maybe four matches that are anywhere from good to great. And then there's like two or three matches that are just shit. And right. That's every year. And so it's never, SummerSlam is almost never like, has nothing bad on it. Okay. And so I would say this year, there was nothing bad.
No.
And so you can, you know, however you want to, you know, star rate things or whatever, you know, you do, you know, knock yourself out. But yep. I think objectively speaking, there was nothing bad here.
No. So we'll start right off the top of the card. They started the show with the the Women's World Championship with obviously, Liv Morgan defending against Rhea Ripley. Who had Dirty Dominic Mysterio in her corner. Well, this went about as where we all thought it was going to go and where the tea leaves were going and how we thought this was going to go. And they did, in fact, have Liv Morgan, you know, Dominic Mysterio turn on Rhea Ripley, leading to Liv Morgan retaining her championship. And, hey, man, I honestly, aside from liking Rhea and liking Liv a lot, I'm not getting out of I don't get a lot out of these kind of soapy things in wrestling, but I'm also just going to be quiet about it because I understand a lot of people do. And that what, I might not like it, but they're doing tremendous work, all three of them. So this was just the next beat in that story, and I think as we'll get to later, it's very, very, very cool that the kind of the Judgment Day and Rhea and, you know, or one iteration of the Judgment Day are returning to their roots. And I think one Papa Adam is going to be, smiling down from wherever he is right now. But yeah, this match really did exactly what we expected it to. No swerves. Well, aside from the one we expected. And that's okay. 99% of the time. And the match was fun. You know, Rhea beat the shit out of Liv, and then Liv obviously showed that she's much better than a lot of people like to admit she is. So, aces all around. Rob?
I thought it was like a good sports entertainment match. I thought that they laid it out exactly where they should have. Liv should not have been squaring up with Rhea Ripley and just throwing hands with her. So having her run and having to try to run and hide for most of the match was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought it was a good match. And you know, I thought, you know, it was maybe a minute or two too long. They could have, some of the stuff they were laying on thick there at the end.
Yeah.
They are trying
to communicate to the lowest common denominator. So they have to say, hey, this is what's happening in the story. And even then, sometimes the bozos don't get it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, overall, I thought it was a good opener, and they did what they needed to do. And doing the turn here was exactly the right decision. And so I think everybody played their part well, and it was a perfect bookend to what would happen later on in the show with the Judgment Day. So it was, This show was Fall of the Judgment Day, basically, or part of the Judgment Day. And so this was like the first part of it. And it fit perfectly with the second part. So good way to open the show.
Excellent. So from there, we moved on to the Intercontinental Championship match where Sami Zayn was defending his championship against Bron Breakker. And again, I'm 50-50, just like I was, you know, in the when we previewed it. I'm kind of shocked that they actually went for it with Braun winning. But also, once you get to this point in the story, what else could you have done? There were not a lot of options there. And as I've been beating this drum for months, and as we definitely found out by the end of this show, Sami Zayn, in a couple of months or a couple of weeks, might have some other things on the agenda that he needs to do. So, I think this was an awesome decision, and Bron Breakker is headed for great things. And by the way, again, getting back to the match is exactly what you expected. Say they had some great wrestling, and Sami Zayn bumped to the moon for Bron Breakker. So, aces, again, aces all around. I'm going to sound like an e-drone for most of this show. Be forewarned. Rob.
I thought this was just okay. I guess to me, I'm still kind of hanging on to why they do the match at Money in the Bank. Sure. So, I mean,
I keep telling you this and why, okay. If the Bloodline stuff all of a sudden like just comes to a head, I don't think it's going to, but if it does come to a head in like 2 weeks and all of a sudden the wheels start turning with that shit, and we start, you know, because come Friday, the OTC is, it's going to be, what, 4-on-1? So you got to start putting some things into place pretty quickly. So I would imagine that that's what it's for. So he had to lose the Intercontinental Championship because it'd be really goofy if he was the only guy in the Bloodline with the title. And so, okay, Rob, with that in mind, why was it goofy that Braun won?
No, him winning is fine. For me, it's okay. It's just that again. I mean, I know why they did it at SummerSlam because we saw why they did it at SummerSlam when they went to the shot in the skybox of Rick and Scott with DDP, you know, hugging each other after he won, right?
Right.
That's why they did it at SummerSlam. Okay.
Got it.
That's okay.
Good reason, by the way.
No problem there.
Right.
My thing is just, did we need to have the Magic Money in the Bank? I mean, what purpose did that serve?
Okay, that's fair. I won't argue with that one. And maybe if it was more of a Sammy slipped on the banana peel into the win, you know, then it would be a little more, okay, I get it.
Right. Because exactly. I mean, if they'd done a banana peel finish in Money in the Bank, and then Braun just killed him here, or the match just went the way that it did, you know, in real time here.
It was 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, but to have, yeah, to me, just when you had the big epic thing and then Sami wins, that to me, that felt like how you do a blow off match, not the first match. And so once that happened, I was kind of like, well, why would, in kayfabe, why would Sami fight him again? Right. So I mean, that's all, but focusing on just what happened here, it was good. And it was a good way for Braun to get his first title. And again, we got to see, you know, up in the skybox, Rick and Scott and DDP and some other folks were up there. And so, yes, I mean, it was cool to see him get the big moment here. And, you know, and to that end, what happened here was fine. It's just, you know, my questions are only about the previous pay-per-view. That's all.
Gotcha. Yep. So as we say sometimes on this show, the middle of this story kind of meandered.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, so we got the third match coming up. It was also a championship match for the United States Championship. It was one Mr. Logan Paul defending his championship against LA Knight. Logan Paul was met with a cacophony of boos when he came out, which was wonderful. And then, LA Knight, the guy prints money. You know, he had the crowd doing the whole damn stadium doing his chant, and the match went about what you'd expect from these guys. Again, I'm going to say that a lot because everybody kind of did their thing on this show, and that's why we liked it so much. But I did like the getting Machine Gun Kelly involved and him being just kind of a, at this point, an unofficial member of the WWE roster with all the stuff he's done. Because when did Kevin Owens powerbomb him? That was before I started watching.
That was like 2015, I think.
Yeah, it was before I started watching. So I started watching in late 2015. So there you go. But in any case, and then Logan Paul countered the Buckshot Lariat into the BFT for the win. LA Knight countered the Buckshot Lariat into the BFT for the win. And he is your new WWE United States Champion. And to that I say, good. And I'm perfectly fine with that. And we all predicted that on this show. And hats off to LA Knight. Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, and so this was we said on last week, this was a must win for him, that he absolutely needed to win this. And so I'm glad that they did that, because if not, then we'd have been, you know, okay, it would have been now what time?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good match. Logan Paul, you know, he always does his thing here. You know, regardless of how we feel about him as a human being.
He always shows out.
Yeah. And so this was no exception.
And credit to him. So far, during his up, when he's in front of a WWE camera, he's been perfectly fine. So yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything on the show that embarrasses anybody.
Exactly. So, hey, man, we got tons of embarrassing people in wrestling. It'll shake out the way it shakes out.
Yeah. And so, but all in all, good match and a good one for LA Knight.
There you go. All right, so next up we had Bayley and Nia Jax. I was looking forward to this, and my wife was actually looking forward to this because she is a huge fan of Nia Jax. So, and Bayley as well. But Nia Jax, she particularly, and I, since she's come back, Nia Jax, man. Like, that's all I had to say, Nia Jax. Like, since she has come back, she's been awesome. In any role they put her in, Queen of the Ring was an incredible move for her. She looks great. She's wrestling better than I've seen her wrestle in a long time. So, and this, again, I'm just going to be boring again. Exactly what you'd expect from Bayley, because she's one of the best women's wrestlers, one of the best wrestlers, period, on the planet. So, all in all, this is an awesome match, and Nia Jax was able to get the win. And it was time. I mean, I think this was the way the wind was blowing, and I think what's next for Bayley will be fun. But I don't think she's going to be twisting in the wind for long. So we'll see. Rob?
Yeah, and look, I'm again, like a lot of people, happy for Nia Jax here, and because she's been very good. She's been great since she came back. She was needed, quite frankly. We've said that a bunch of times. And they had a good match here. And I do want to take a minute because, now I didn't see a whole lot of people bad mouthing Bayley on our timeline, but I saw a reaction to some apparent bad mouthing about her title reign. And, you know, and I did respond to that and just, okay, again, guys, and it's not any woman's wrestler's fault that they often give them the most basic ass shit in terms of creative and storylines and all of that.
No, Rob has done the math, done the, you know, the logistics or whatever. He's laid it out a couple of times on this show. Sometimes the women get a storyline that I swear to God, they just spilled everything in and then simmed 3 months on NBA or WWE 2K, and then they just said, okay, what'd they do? Oh, they turned on each other here, and then they had a cage match here, and then it blew off in a whatever match at whatever. Like, seriously, sometimes it's paint-by-numbers bullshit.
Yeah, and so, and, you know, and it's just, it kind of is what it is. Look, I think she did great with what they gave her to do. Okay, And that's all you can ask is that they, all you can ask is that they do the stuff, that they execute what they're given. I mean, really, I mean, that's all you can ask of the wrestlers. Okay. And she did that for the whole time.
And you can tell because when the story was good, whether it was Damage Control or the fracture of Damage Control or whatever, Bayley was one of the shining parts. You know, yes. it's not, you can tell that it's not an effort thing on Bailey's part. And I know that sounds dumb, but like we watch this stuff enough and we're obsessed with this stuff enough and that we watch these people, we don't know these people, but we watch them do their jobs enough that we can gain some, you know, some sort of insight. And yeah, she was giving a efforts as she always does every single time, even with some of the basic ass shit they were doing.
Yeah. And then, and look, if you, I know, look, we're not the body language people or mind readers here, but I mean, these folks do interviews all the time and you can just listen to the way they talk about stuff in the interviews and you can tell whether or not, you know, how they're feeling about what they're doing. And Bailey, to her credit, you don't ever get any type of tell from any interview she does, you know, whether or not they giving her some shit to do. Right? I
mean, hey, she is a pro's pro and she has been that way for a long ass time.
Yeah. And so look, she did everything that she was given to do during this title reign. She did it well. And so you should not give her any grief for it, okay? And at all. And that's it. And so going forward, I'm sure she'll probably have some, you know, she's not done feuding with Nia and Tiffany, I'm sure. So they'll go on for a little bit longer or however long.
I didn't even mention the fact that Nia was out there with Miss Money in the Bank and whatnot. And so that whole thing is going to be very entertaining, at least until probably Survivor Series.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a question, you know, when is Tiffany going to try to cash in the briefcase? Will she cash it in on Nia? Will we have some situation where will she insert herself into a match Nia is defending the title in? Or maybe you never know. Somebody, you know, maybe Bailey wins it back and then she cashes in on Bailey immediately. You know, a bunch of different directions it could go in.
Here's a quick exercise, Rob. If Tiffany still has the, I imagine that when Tiffany cashes in the briefcase, Nia will be involved in some facet, whether she is the champion, whether she is in a match competing for the championship, or yes, she just lost the championship but beat the shit out of the champion so that Tiffany could pick the bones.
Yeah.
I don't think that Tiffany's just going to cash in on Becky and Bailey. So right now, Nia and Tiffany are both heels.
Yes.
When that happens, there's going to be some sort of rivalry, even if they don't face each other right away. Who turns?
Oh, man, that's...
That's tough, right?
Because neither one of them is... Neither one of them...
You have to push... Whoever's going to turn face, the other one needs to push even more in the heel direction. So if Tiffany's going to turn face, she needs to cash in on Nia after she lost and like she already has maybe a torn ACL or something. They're acting that she's like, I got her knee all messed up. And then, you know, Tiffany's like, hit you with the briefcase. Now I'm cashing in. Or you go Nia, the queen of the ring and now champion, becomes such a bullying, crazy person that, you know, little Miss Tiffany, you can do that in about two weeks. You know, all of a sudden Tiffany being the bully isn't that big of a deal, and it also gets some sympathy on Tiffany. So you could do that either direction, literally.
I guess, okay, so nothing about Tiffany's mannerisms or her demeanor or anything says babyface. Nothing.
Okay.
But I mean, the same thing over Nia. I mean, and look, I mean, look, let's be honest, okay? Other than, like, respecting her as a performer, people cheer for Tiffany because she's hot, okay?
I was going to say, Tiffany's a cute blonde. She could turn face in about 2 seconds, man.
Well, I think it's going to be hard to keep her. It's going to be hard to get people to boo her. Okay.
Right. But it's also like she does so well as a heel.
Right. She has all of the mannerisms and demeanor and everything to be a heel, but it's going to be really difficult to get people
And I don't mean it any which way. She has the face.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
look,
she does. Her expressions, the way she emotes, like, her snarl, her little, like, half, like, you know, that, the Michaela, the gymnast with the I'm not impressed face. Like, yeah. She does one of those. Like, oh my God, she's great. She's built to be a heel.
Right, but, and this is one of those things with women's wrestling is because a lot of people watch women's wrestling thinking with the wrong head, so to speak.
Yep.
You know, there are heel women wrestlers who don't get booed.
She's a cute blonde. She can do the sympathetic baby face thing just for the run, for the turn, and then kind of see what you have after that.
Yeah, I think, so we'll see if she can, we'll see if she can do the acting part of being a babyface, but, I think.
Shia can.
Yeah, it's gonna be a weird dynamic.
It would be.
Or, maybe you don't, cause I think, let's say, somebody beats Nia and Nia murders them and then she just says, all right, go ahead and cash it in on this person. And then Nia just they kind of swap roles where Nia becomes kind of the person who helps Tiffany win instead of Tiffany helping her. I think you could do it that way.
Plenty of directions we could go there, and we love all the people involved in that match. So,
and it is not lost on me that one woman keeps calling herself queen and the other one keeps calling herself princess.
Good point.
And that opens the door.
Hey, man. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, in the next match, we had just a grudge match. Where, oh my goodness.
This is your favorite match of the night, I know.
This is my favorite match of the night. One guy just spends his life being an asshole to everybody. Everybody he ever meets, he's like, hey, if I could, dick around with this person, I'm gonna. Any bridge he looked at, he's like, that looks very flammable. And that dude's chickens came home to roost. And I'm talking about one Philip Seymour Brooks getting put down like a dog to steal my glorious co-host's catchphrase. This man was put down by a dog, like a dog. of WrestleMania, one Drew McIntyre, the Scottish hero. And of course he was given a little bit of an assist. Not really, although, by the relatively impartial, when you consider everything that went on, special guest referee Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins really did, play the character and play the match right down the middle, unless one of the guys pissed him off. And then he was right in their face, being a jerk, and unfortunately for Punk, Punk was the last guy to piss him off. And Drew capitalized with a bunch of shit ending with a claymore. And Seth Rollins had to count the 1, 2, 3. And Drew and CM Punk is still winless in his two matches since he returned in 2014. So I had the most wonderful time. Never mind how we closed this fucking show. I almost had an aneurysm. It was wonderful. So, Rob, before I float off into the moon, what did you think of the death of Philip Seymour Brooks?
You meant to say Seymour Butts? Is that what you meant to say?
I was. Because he is Butts. That guy is Butts. That guy smells.
I thought it was good. I thought Seth played his role well. And Phil, to his credit, he made it through the match. He took a lot of, you know, good bumps during the match. He was not out there. You know, he wasn't.
Wasn't exactly a sprint, I will say.
No, but he took some good bumps. He wasn't out there soft shoe dancing, okay?
Oh, he was. I will even give credit to CM Punk. Like, I was joking about his, you know, record of, like, you know, he's only had one match on TV where he was the Royal Rumble and he broke himself. And he's had two matches at live events against Dirty Dom Mysterio, which were probably more, you know, Benny Hill matches than anything else. So I was always set and prepared for this guy's rust to just show itself. And hey man, hats off. It did not. Like, maybe he was huffing and puffing at some point, but he's also in his 40s. So yeah. No, credit where it's due, man. He looked great. Did you hear how hard that hurt me to say? Bad. Man, but anyway, anything else about, that was awesome. McIntyre taking the bracelet, thing, like how it hopped back and forth during the match and at the end of the match, McIntyre took it back. That was incredible. And, so.
Oh, and Seth getting, basically cutting a shoot promo in his face.
Everything's for you, asshole. Yep, and we were better off without you, and blah blah blah. Hey, all facts. But so the finally the penultimate match, we had Damian Priest defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther, and well. And again, paint by numbers, it went exactly how it was supposed to. Damian Priest was betrayed by the Judgment Day. I have a small, like, just editorial critique about the end of it. But other than that, the match was awesome. Two guys who are known to beat the shit out of people and not hold back and hit hard, beat the shit out of each other. They did not hold back, and they hit each other very hard. So that was great. And then the South of Heaven that one of the South of Heavens, if he hit more than one, but there was one South of Heaven that Priest hit on Gunther that shook my soul, and I wasn't even there. I was just watching on TV. So this was awesome. And then it ends with Damian hits the South of Heaven. He editorial pushes him towards the ropes for some reason and then goes for the pin, unseen to him. Finn Balor pops out of nowhere or pops up and puts a priest, or excuse me, Gunther's foot on the ropes, rope break, all that good stuff. The priest looks at the screen, realizes that Finn has betrayed him, but then the train has left the track, or the train has left the station, and Gunther puts him down and wins the World Heavyweight Championship. So aside from my little editorial of either they were not in the right position and Gunther should have been the one to hit the ground, realize he wasn't close enough for the rope break thing, and just roll over like, oh, I'm in pain, blah, blah, blah. But good on Damian for realizing it, realizing Gunther wasn't going to move and saying, well, I have to figure this out. And I'll push him towards the ropes for no reason. So aside from that little editorial, though, man, aces, again, I have very little to say aside from that South of Heaven, which I think it might have been the rope break one, where it shook my bones. And, you know, I cannot wait. You know, here we go. We have we're going to have the Terror Twins going up against the Judgment Day. So I'm very excited. Rob.
Yeah, to me, this was the match of the night. I think Devin, as far as ring work goes, and like they both laid that stuff in really good. You know, and we were used to it from Gunther with the chops, but Priest was laying those kicks in really good. And
was against somebody who could just fucking take it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's
so probably told him, say, yeah, just let it go.
Yeah, and Yeah, and you can always tell, yeah, I mean, you can always tell the difference when you had two people in the ring, and both of them, like, neither one of them is afraid to take it, you know, to take a hit, basically.
I actually know for a fact, from talking to my close personal friend Dijak, that Walter Gunther will go exactly as hard as you want to, and that is it. And excuse me, exactly as hard as you can.
And so they did that here. And because look, those are two big, tough guys. They, you know, so they can, yes, they can definitely take a lot. And I thought, you know, the betrayal, I think, was well done. I mean, and we kind of figured, I mean, we knew it was coming, but we weren't necessarily sure how it was going to unfold. So, and I think they did it right. Because, look, and like we said before last week, we didn't want a situation where, like, Freeze had Gunther covered for an 8 count, and then Gunther didn't look like he couldn't have won, right? But the interference definitely did make a difference.
Yep.
And so now, and we saw, well, we'll get to in a few minutes about, you know, where Priest goes forward from here. But, you know, Priest, I mean, the you know, we talked about the first, basically the first 2 months of his title reign, he was playing sitcom dad. And then the second, you know, the second half of it, they finally got more serious. And so for me, you know, I think, and some people were worried that he was starting to look like he was not that guy, just when they were doing the sitcom day and stuff with him. But I think we don't have to worry about that now. Judging how, like, the second half of his title reign went, I don't think that's a concern now.
So at 2 points, I think, in the entire run of this thing, we were worried about these people. One, before anyone won any titles, and before it was crazy, Rhea might have been champion, but there was one point, a couple of months, where the Judgment Day was really just spinning their wheels, and they were, like, feuding with weird people and things like that. Now we realize they were just trying to get them through, because they were just trying to get Priest to Man and Money in the Bank, WrestleMania, et cetera, et cetera. But, and then with Priest, again, like Rob just mentioned, there was a little period. Well, it was a little different because he just wasn't asked to be a domineering, dominant guy for a lot of points. He was asked to be the sitcom dad. He was asked to be the, you know, the guy in the midst of an almost civil war, and then it didn't happen. And, like, it's just, there was a lot of different things that he was asked to do. So I don't think we can fully judge his, like, it's like you were talking about earlier, Rob. Like, sometimes we just have to look at the writing. It's not a knock on the person, because, like we've been saying about a lot of folks, he did the best with what he could, with the best he could with what he was given. So I don't think the Damian title run in all was a good time and a success. So, hats off to everybody, and I think we're going to be fine. He'll figure out, I mean, I can't wait for the next iteration, or the next little couple civil wars we're going to have in this year federation.
Yeah. And I guess I'll do this now, since I know we got to go long on the main event and everything afterwards. I made a little prediction on Twitter, I think it might have been Tuesday, that don't be surprised if Priest wins the Royal Rumble and then wins the title back at WrestleMania. Because I think he's on that track now, judging by the reaction that he and Rhea got Monday night. And now that he's kind of rounding into, you know, what his character really is going to be now. And look, somebody made a, you know, just like a little side by side of him and Dominic Toretto. And
hey, man.
Then that's it perfectly.
Hey.
That's exactly.
Family.
Yeah. That's exactly his character, fully fulfilled character. That's exactly what it is.
And, I mean, they're not romantically involved, and I hope they don't even remotely approach that territory. But Rhea kind of has some Letty vibes as well.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, exactly. I mean, so there, I mean, it's a, I think it's a perfect pairing as far, you know, as far as two people who fight alongside each other. And I think that's what, you know, Mr. Copeland always had in mind when he.
Oh, can we talk about that for a second? Like when they cleared everybody out on Monday Night Raw and they hugged and, you know, how, you know, wherever he is now, that proud papa Adam Copeland, Adam Edge Copeland, he must be beaming down on his kids.
Yes.
God bless.
Because this was his fulfilled vision, basically.
Yeah, this was the original purpose. It was to get, the Judgment Day was to get Rhea and Priest over.
Yeah.
And mission accomplished. So yes. I think we can end there. That was perfect. So next up, we had the main event of the evening. We had the undisputed WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, putting his title on the line against the pseudo, the self-proclaimed, the Timu tribal chief, Solo Sikoa. And man, they put out all the stops for the Codester. Oh my goodness, this is Pharaoh's last road trip.
Oh man.
Hey, good boy, Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good boy. We love Pharaoh in this house. And let me make sure that I'm correct. Yes. Every single piece of Cody Rhodes merch that I have that is not an action figure of Cody Rhodes has Pharaoh on it. And that's a very deliberate choice because I want to make sure that he gets part of my proceeds. So, good boy, Pharaoh. Final road trip. God bless you. Go home. Be with your friend Libby. Have a good time. And then Cody Rhodes met Uncle Arn. Uncle Arn did not give him the strap. So, yeah, I wondered if that was going to be a thing. But it was good to see Arn, you know, give Cody the pep talk before he walked out there. Cody comes out. Boom. We have a Bloodline Rules match, which is so fucking dumb because it's just a no DQ match, man. Like, it's the thing that makes it so dumb, by the way, I'm going to editorialize one of the goats being terrible at his job, is you knew what the Bloodline Rules match was going to be. So don't pose it as like, oh yeah, Solo's going to sing the national anthem. If countouts count, they count. If countouts don't count, they count. We can change the rules whenever they go. No, man, we've had two matches now. They're just no DQ. So they're not fun. Well, they're not what they're supposed to be. Anyway, that diatribe aside, one of my favorite things about this match was the way it was laid out because it was so basic and such an easy move to pull in terms of like, hey, why don't we just do the whole match like this? The lesson of this match before the end and everything got crazy was that Solo has done his homework. They kept saying that phrase a couple of different times, and he did. He caught the Cody Cutter. He got hit with the flip-flap fly or whatever. But most of the things that Cody does as tropes, he had some sort of answer for. And I thought that was a very good way to get a very long championship match out of Cody Rhodes, one of the better wrestlers alive, or sports entertaining wrestlers alive, I guess, versus Solo Sikoa, who is up and coming and very awesome. Don't know if he's truly ready for a call it in the ring, you know, championship match against the top guys. So that was perfect. Like, it made everything work. It made everything flow. And then you get the Bloodline shenanigans in the end. You have Jacob and, you know, the Tongans and blah, 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 and it gets all crazy. And Rob.
Yes. Well, first, before we get to that.
We've been waiting so long. So yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so for me, you know, seeing Arn me being the old being the old NWA fan, seeing Arn is always wonderful. And that was A+. And as much as we, crack on Cody a lot of times, all the love to Pharaoh.
Oh, work.
And, all the stuff you said, right? I agree with you about the whole Bloodline rules thing now. Because I forgot what was it they called the match that Roman and Jay had at SummerSlam? It wasn't Bloodline rules, but it was
Tribal Chief, the Tribal Chief Challenge or something. No, Tribal Combat.
That was equally stupid. I mean, we can just look.
That was just no DQ.
Yeah, I mean, so that, yeah.
I mean, at least, okay. Right. I will play along when you say it's a Boston street fight. It's a Philadelphia street fight. It's a street fight. It's a hardcore match. It's a whatever. It's a no DQ match. I don't care. They all mean the same thing. But when you introduce the Bloodline rules match, the Hall of Famer guy said, these are the rules for the Bloodline rules match. Is that the Bloodline makes the rules. And then the match happened, and that didn't fucking happen. And then the match happened again, and that still didn't fucking happen. So don't tell me something that it is when it isn't that, and I already have an expectation of what it is.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, what was more in line with what they're trying to do was like in the tag team match at night one at WrestleMania where Rock was yelling at the referee, don't you fucking count, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought Bloodline rules were going to be. You count, you're fired.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically Bloodline rules, the way they, sell it, or at least they sold it like basically that Bloodline rules is we can make the shit up in the middle of the match if we want to. And
exactly. They literally, if Solo's going to sing the national anthem, if I don't want countouts, I'm going to tell the ref to stop counting. If it's no, it might be DQ, it might be no DQ, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you just say it's no DQ, man, and you're going to have your guys in the ring when it starts. I don't know. So dumb.
Yeah. That's my thing about that. Of course, now we can get to the real reason we were all watching this show now.
We're saved. Rob, I just feel so much better now. I feel safe and warm. And I was so lost. And last I saw my tribal chief, I was looking at him. I was looking at his personage. And I was crying, and I was looking at him as he hugged his wise man, and his wise man hugged him, and I'm sure they were crying with joy of what the story that they had just fucking told. But our tribal chief has returned. The original tribal chief. The only tribal chief. That's what OTC stands for, by the way. The only tribal chief.
Yes.
So, oh, man, when that music hit, I stood up, I yelped, I didn't do the Rob running around the basement when he saw Luke Skywalker, but I almost did. Instead, I just stood up and held my one to the sky until that motherfucker speared Solo out of his boots, because I hit the ooh-ah with all the other 57,000 however many people. Rob, how did you feel when you first heard that music?
Man, so the same way I felt when back in December of 2022, when Ronda Rousey had beaten Raquel Rodriguez, and then she didn't leave the ring immediately, and she started to get on the mic and start running her mouth, and I had a feeling that something might happen here. And then, the music hitting out came the 14-time women's champion. I felt the same way here. Okay. Again, look, Roman is both of our favorite guy. And when he's not there, it's not the same. The other people do a great job.
He's seen it twice now. Like, he's gone for a long period of time. And, like, the second time, his cohorts and his, like, echoes are all over this show, and it's still not the same.
Yeah, and it's just not. And so to hear the music and to see him come back out there.
The WrestleMania music, I might add.
Yes. And, okay. I mean.
Because, dude, that music rips.
Yeah.
When it does the one strings part where he's, right before when he stopped, when he was walking down the ramp and he stops and it does the wide camera shot of him and it's that, all the strings start playing like Thanos is coming. Man, oh my God. That dude. It's something, man.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, and then again to see the whole building cheering for him.
To hear the whole building cheer for him,
and to hear it after all this shit, after all the shit that he's gone through, and after all the shit a lot of us, you know, stood by him through. Oh man. Now, look, this is for me. Look,
it's not even like finally. It's yeah. Welcome aboard. We were right. You were wrong.
Yeah, and it's just and look, we're not just happy for Roman Reigns. Look, you know what? Yes, we're fucking happy for Joe. Okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right, we are. Okay. Damn right we are.
As
okay.
marky as that makes us sound, I'm happy for the dude.
Yes.
Because the shit that guy went through, because, well, by the way, a lot of it caused and started by the guy who got put down like a dog by the hero of WrestleMania, Drew McIntyre, with an assist from the Shield brother, as much as we might hate him right now, Seth Rollins.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. And order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was so wonderful to see. It was the biggest, it was the pop of the night with no comparison.
Yeah, and it's we get too attached sometimes to the people. Yes, we do. And this is one of those times where I don't care. Because again, you know, Joe and Owyhee deserved that. Okay. Just yep. For all the shit that he has gone through for the past 9 years.
I don't care what you think of the D word. He deserved it.
Yes. Okay. Like, no, people don't deserve to get booked to win wrestling matches or whatever. No. Okay.
Nope.
But they deserve opportunities. And they deserve respect, and they deserve appreciation for what they do. Right, and to me, this is that. Okay. So to that end, yeah, I mean, he deserves that. All right, and to see that happen for him there. And he didn't have to dive through 10 tables. He didn't have to set himself on fire.
Nope.
To get a reaction.
He walked, hit one Superman punch, hit one taunt, hit one super move, looked disdainfully and just kind of gave the substitute teacher champion an acknowledgement. Not an acknowledgement, excuse me, a notice, I guess. And left. And it was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, dude, Cody's a substitute teacher, man. Is it because Roman's been gone so long? Because I joke, but let's be real. Cody's been cooking with gas. Cody's selling merch like fucking nobody's business. Like, I'm not gonna take that away from him. And obviously, Roman benefits from being gone, even if it's a couple of weeks. And I think that was part of the strategy with the Tribal Chief. Health reasons and whatever, might have been another good reason. But, yeah, man, I don't know. It just, that dude's, I don't want to say Cody is the, new hot thing or whatever, because he's not. He's also in that category. And I think it's just insane for wrestling fans for them to finally be in the same stratosphere. So it's really just they're going back and forth. I don't know. I'm just babbling at this point.
Okay. Well, okay. I'd say, okay. I won't go as far as call Cody a substitute teacher.
No, I know. I'm being a little.
Okay. Braun Strowman in 2020 was a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. But
that's why he got pinned by the Tribal Chief the last time that the Tribal Chief came back at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but Cody's not Roman. I'll say that. There's a difference. I can play numbers nerd and point it out to you. And I won't do that. But I'll just say there is a difference. And I mean, and look, whenever he comes back, I'm always happy to see him come back, and I don't take it for granted, because remember, 6 years ago, he left and we thought he might not come back. Period. So
it's like not that he would pass away or anything, but just like, hey, who knows what happens here? Are you going to be in good enough physical shape? Are you going to be in good enough mental shape? How long is this going to take? Are you going to kick it in 2 months? Are you going to kick it in 2 years? Are you going to kick it in 20? It's just so much unknown and just craziness that anything that we get after the announcement is gravy, And to have this kind of run is just like, fuck.
Yeah. And so it was, man, it was wonderful. It really was. And, now I feel like watching SmackDown again now has a purpose. And look, not that they weren't doing anything good there. They were, but it just, there's a difference. Again, there's a difference. Okay. Just is.
Again, if you haven't listened to this show before, or if you have, our friend Madeline calls him the Black Lion of the WWE. the Black Lion. Of course, if you're familiar with Voltron, which is, I think, one of the original, like, ideas of transforming robots coming in together to form some sort of Megazord, the Black Lion is the center. He forms the chest. So nothing works without the Black Lion. You can't attach the chest, the leg to the arm. You have to attach the leg and the arm to the chest. So without Roman, all four lions or whatever you have are very wonderful and very effective, but for their true capability, they need the Black Lion in the middle, and that's what Roman is.
Yes. And okay. So now we
have that ended with the highest high that I could possibly imagine. And Rob, did you before it happened? Now you can tell us, like, I forget what you said at the show, at the preview show, but what did you actually think in your heart of hearts? Was Roman Reigns coming back? What was your percentage?
I thought that I 75 maybe.
Okay.
Because like I said before, as good as this show was.
Yep.
There were a lot of people who were going.
If Cody had just beat.
If Cody had just beaten Solo 1-2-3, that would have been a downer. And if Solo had beaten him, then they might have had trash thrown in the ring. Okay.
Well, no, he'd been fine for about 3 minutes. And then they would have realized that Roman wasn't coming out to challenge him.
Trash
would have started getting thrown in the ring. And me and Rob would have started the trend.
Oh yeah, yeah. Look. Yes. We got the next day to throw some more in the empty arena. Okay.
Cody gets 1-2-3, or excuse me, Solo gets 1-2-3. He's parading around with the championship, and then me and Rob will probably be sitting in the front row, like with our ones up, looking at the entrance ramp, like, yeah, dude. That would have been worse, way worse.
Yeah, and look, y'all may think this is crazy, but I promise you, people would have shit all over that show had there been no Roman Reigns. Okay.
100%.
And that's with all those matches being as good as they were.
Right. We just got done telling you guys how fucking awesome this show was, and I'm like, yeah, all these people, like, they're some of the best wrestlers on the planet, and they did some of the best sports entertaining wrestling on the planet. But like they would have shit on this show if Solo had just won, or if, you know, Cody had just won, beat Solo, boom. I mean, also, side note, Rob, can we talk to the people who like actually believe the whole thing of Jacob Fatu actually like messing up his leg?
Look, I was 50-50 there. He did a damn good job of selling it.
He sold it really, 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 really well. But what happened after that, Rob? Roman Reigns came out.
Yes, and so you.
Why didn't Jacob Fatu beat the shit out of Roman Reigns?
Right. He had to be incapacitated. Exactly. He had to be incapacitated in some kind of way.
And Jacob Fatu is very, very new. Who have we seen incapacitate Jacob Fatu, Rob?
Nobody. Like, we saw Jacob Fatu take a poison rana and hop back up.
We've seen Jacob Fatu take a DDT and hop back up.
Right.
So, yeah, we can't blow that load yet, guys. So Jacob was selling, and I love the fact that he was selling it in a walking boot later. Like,
yeah, yes. Kudos to committing.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that. I will say I do not believe that for a second. Like, I do not believe he was any which way injured. I mean, if he was, I mean, I hope he gets well soon, obviously. But, yeah, I'm not a monster. But I don't think, they were working, brother. But, yeah, that pretty much sums up SummerSlam. So, That and really, it was just all about the return of the Tribal Chief. Like, that's all we had to talk about, man. We should have just started there. Because holy shit. Business is about to pick up, Dede. So, Rob, let's talk about that for a minute. Roman Reigns is coming back on Saturday. What do you Friday. What do you expect from Roman Reigns?
He has to address, well, first of all, he's going to have to address the Timu bloodline, of course.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I don't know. He'll probably have something to say to Cody or about Cody.
So, allies, enemies, frenemies. What are we thinking?
I think.
I think there's peace in the Middle East for now, and I think Brandy was working when she made her tweet soon after Reigns saved Cody's bacon.
Yeah.
Where he said he's not invited to Thanksgiving, but we're keeping a seat open. It's like, yeah. Well, ma'am, you went from, like, this man was, his whole family was terrorizing your husband, and he saved your husband from one, who gets ass whooped for a living, from one ass whooping, and you're inviting him to Thanksgiving? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think, for now, I think it'll just be like, hey, I didn't do this. I didn't do that for you. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's where it starts, at least. We'll see where it ends up.
I understand they wanted to do a little ambiguity because obviously they have to leave it till Friday to figure out if, you know, Roman still hates Cody's guts or not. But I think it would have been very, very, very funny in this Bloodline rules match where anything goes, but except it's just no DQ. If Roman were to come out and give the exact same things, Superman punch, spear to Solo, maybe another spear to Solo because of what I'm about to propose. And then Cody looks at him. Roman spears him too. Roman smash stacks pins. Solo, then Cody, then Roman. Thus, because Roman is not involved in the match, technically Cody pinned Solo, right? Yeah. They allow that kind of thing? I mean, in a Bloodline rules match, I think you wouldn't have to care that somebody else is applying pressure on the pinner's back. So that would have been the best way to go. So if it becomes fuck you, no fuck you within the next, like, month, then I think we had a photo opportunity wasted. Otherwise, if they're going to be frenemies or, like, allies or whatever, then fine. This is the way to do it. But the Smash Jack Pin 2.0 was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen. But
just being a nerd about the rules where it's like, okay, if Solo's flat on his back and Roman puts Cody on top of Solo, then technically, so. But, yeah, that was just a little fantasy booking on my part. But seriously, this whole thing was very well executed. And I think eventually they're going to get to frenemies and they're not going to, because I think ultimately at this point, it's going to be Rocky and Cody and then Rocky and Roman.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed for WrestleMania in Vegas. But because Rock still has to, Rock is part of this story, guys. Sorry. I don't know.
He's going to resurface. He'll resurface again at some point.
If you don't think that Rock is at least somewhat involved in the new NU bloodline. I don't know what you're watching, guys.
Yeah, I think without a doubt. I mean, he's got to be.
Let's remember how Dwayne acknowledged Roman as his tribal chief through gritted teeth, and Roman basically putting a gun to his head, like, "Hey, you got to do this."
Right.
Storytelling, man. Roman Reigns, one of the best to ever do it. Probably the best. I don't know. I'm just saying. But, and if you look on my Twitter somewhere, there's a, or my wife's Twitter, which is out there, you can find a wonderful picture of me throwing up the one all the way through Roman's entrance. From the moment his music hit to the moment his music stopped when he hit Solo with the Superman punch, I was throwing up the one. Rob, what about you, Mr. running around the basement with the Luke Skywalker lightsaber and whatnot? Were you throwing up the one? Did you?
Well, this time I just kind of sat there and took it in, man. You know.
All right, fair enough. Were you crying? I was crying.
Oh, man. It was, yeah, man. It was.
Oh, dude, know. It's just fucking good to see him.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't get, you know, I don't take these for granted. And
yeah, man. That's it. Like, don't take it for granted, because, like, I don't know, like, there's just been, even for all of his times where it's like, oh, wow, something happened, and, you know, he was removed from our lives for a little while. Just, you look at how some of these wrestlers' careers go and how athletes' careers go and stuff like that, it's like, dude, just be happy we got him. Just be happy we have him right now.
Yeah, and just don't ever don't take it for granted.
No.
And on the other side of that, don't feel ashamed to enjoy it, right? I mean, on the other end of it, don't feel ashamed to get emotional about this stuff, right? Don't.
No, dude. Actually, you know what? You know what? I will close with a weird compliment / like dig that I'm gonna about to unleash, because I'll put it this way. Mercedes Moné had a promo last night on Dynamite. It was bad, in my opinion. But yeah. I had a ton of people saying, like, on my timeline, saying, like, oh, she's always been bad. Stop that right now. I've had Sasha Banks promos put moisture in my eyes. So don't even say that. Like, when Rob and I talk about it, like, when Rob and DJ and I talk about it, you, like, enjoy these people while you have it. Like, and it's just like any athlete. Enjoy their fastball while they have it. And I'm not saying Sasha's not going to find her, Mercedes or whatever, is not going to find hers tomorrow. Right now, she's not presenting something that I enjoy. But, like, dude, enjoy what we got at this point in wrestling, where wrestling is on, like, live TV on, I think, 4 different channels at this point during the week, and a million different streaming services. It might not always be this good, guys, so we're doing pretty okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, get happy, get sad, don't let anybody tell you that, you know, why are you getting all worked up about this stuff? Just go through the whole roller coaster, man, you know?
Yeah, man.
And
it's more fun. Like, obviously, don't let it ruin your life, but, like, it's more fun when you're invested, guys. It just is. Just like any sports team, just like any, like, I don't know, anything.
Yeah, and, be human. Just all, you know, don't worry about what somebody else is going to think what's going on, you know? And this was just, you know, the end of the SummerSlam was one of those times where it was just good to be a human being, you know, wrestling fan.
Agreed. I had not felt like a human being like that. When was the last time I ever got emotional? I mean, obviously, you know, WrestleMania, being there for WrestleMania, various things. But, I don't know. It was tough for, like, because I just genuine joy, man. When that music hit, I was just like, yep, here we fucking go. We're right back into the golden age, man. So, just an awesome show. Like, I couldn't believe how again, as I said at the top of the show, it wasn't banger after banger after banger, but if you didn't get something out of this show, WWE does not provide the entertainment that you are looking for. So look elsewhere, and I'd say that no which way.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, SummerSlam is almost always an up and down show. There's always, again, like I said, there's always two or three matches that you really enjoy, and then there's two or three matches you're just like, what is this shit? And this year was not one of those years. So
no.
At the worst, I mean, like I said, nothing was bad. Okay. If, you know, if you want to give the most conservative assessment of how good the show was, I think that's it. Nothing was bad.
Yep. So, Rob, if we want to do, final grade, by the way, final grade. SummerSlam.
Okay. Final grade, Ringwork B, Sports Entertainment A.
That's about where I would say, yeah, B, Ringwork B, B plus, Sports Entertainment A plus, dude. Like, I mean, the extra plus is because the last couple of minutes of that show, but goddamn, they killed it. So Rob, did you want to talk about the only other big thing in the WWE sphere right now? The Wyatt Six, man.
Oh, yes. Because you know what? They got me, okay? Yes, I'm on board. I'm on board now. Okay.
I'm on fucking board. I was so up, cuz now that I'm on board, I can tell you how anxious I was about this whole thing. Like, I'm not going to, I didn't want, if it got bad, I was never going to make fun of it or never going to be like, oh, this sucks or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, it's a brother trying to do his thing for his brother. So, and his, like, dude, I mean, I am a little brother, so I can tell you what that means. Like, thankfully, my brother is still with us and all that good stuff, but this whole thing, dude, they are nailing this. Like, and it's so where I think I want to say, at the very beginning, I was wondering if it was going to be a homage or a sequel or like a memorial or whatever. And now that they're like fully revealed and they're doing in-ring stuff and they're like really fleshed out, like, no, it's a incredible sequel. They're doing the best bits of an homage without being like dorky about it. And they are in the right sphere right now because they're not suddenly challenging the world heavyweight champion and the tag team champions and the this and the that. They're in their own bubble doing their own thing and doing amazing. And I'm just like shocked that it's been this good. Rob, I'm babbling, so go on.
Yeah, look, I've been a skeptic, which is because we know how these things have always turned out when Bray was still with us. That,
Not every single bit of the Wyatt family saga was awesome.
Yeah, and quite often it eventually kind of runs into a bit of a ditch because you kind of, no matter how you book it, you end up booked into a corner. And look, I've said before, look, I was not a fan the last time he was there with us and the whole Uncle Howdy stuff when he was doing that. I was not a fan of that. I personally did not find that stuff to be, you know, particularly any good. I was skeptical of this and I was just, you know, but I was hoping that it would just at least pan out because of, we know that Bo and everyone in the group is pouring their hearts out into this thing. Yeah. And so I, at the very least, wanted it to at least succeed, you know, for them. Whether, you know, no matter how I would personally end up feeling about it. But, I will say that after the way they just, the way they did everything Monday, that was, you know, that sealed it for me. I'm on board now. And I forgot who it was that said that.
Oh, also, whoever's in the writing room, whoever's idea it was, or if this was always part of the plan from the beginning, but whoever took the masks off, please, I want to hug you and kiss you. And just said, this is Joe Gacy, this is, like, stop. Like, yes. Like, yes. We need to live in the real world where we know who these people are.
Right. And, because I thought, look, when you do the spooky stuff, you always have to, the key is always finding the right balance. Because eventually you have to get in the ring and have a match. So, you know, finding the right balance between the two is always key. And I forgot who it was that said, but somebody said that, having all the baby faces is the right way to go because one of the Oh yeah, yes, it was. And cause having them, you know, cause that was always one of the problems with Bray is because, you know, everything he said and the whole character work was always so captivating that.
You didn't want to see any of it fulfilled because he's talking about, and then we're going to end the world, man. And then we're going to all go into a pit of darkness, man. And it's like, yeah, while you're singing it, we're all captivated and enthralled. But then, oh, wait, I don't know if I want to do that.
That, and then also, because of the spooky elements of the character, part of that is, at some point he has to scare people, or he has to scare, his opponents have to be scared of something about him at some point. And therefore, that doesn't lend itself to being a heel. Because now that means, the people who become scared are supposed to be the heroes. And we saw when, Seth Rollins was feuding with Bray and they had Seth basically acting like the scared girl in a horror movie. That ultimately didn't do anybody any favors. So it's better to have the heels be the ones running scared and not baby faces.
I think them being heels for obviously this debut as their, super spooky magic power group is the good call, but also they beat the shit out of the Alpha Academy, the new Alpha Academy and whatnot. They're not faces.
Yeah.
So they are still playing in, the sandbox. I think one of the coolest things, like I obviously we watch this stuff way too close, and I wondered at first about Bray, Bo doing a like almost a Bray impression. But I feel like now, after having seen it a couple of weeks and a couple of months and whatnot, especially with the both the self-interview with Uncle Howdy and the interview with Michael Cole, that he is taking the Bray ball and just running with it. So, man, hats off to Bo, because that must be very, very tough. And maybe, hey, maybe it's therapeutic to do this thing, you know, with or for or whatever, Bray. But, you know, hats off to Bo, because this dude, when I first got here, he was the dude in white fucking, like, a diaper, basically, with the briefs that he was wearing, you know, doing Bo Leave and all that shit. And now he's doing, like, complex character work and, like, hard-hitting wrestling. Like, he was always a very good wrestler. That's nothing. But, like, yeah. So, hats off to Bo, man. Like, and obviously doing it among all the heartbreak that must be there. So, yeah, hats off.
And I think about him, and I think about, you know, Rowan, because, well, both of them, I mean, they lost it, you know, I mean, Bo lost his real life brother, and then he and Rowan both lost, you know, their figurative, for lack of a better word, brother, you know, yeah. Harper.
Dude, doing him as the heavy of the group is the correct decision, and yeah. Also, like, I love the idea of it, like, do the Andre and the Big Show heavy with him, which they hinted at, like, because, and I'm a huge nerd about this kind of stuff, but in kayfabe, there is no one closer to Bray's power than Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
Like, so he should be the big tree fall hard. Correct. Yeah. And obviously in personal, you know, obviously everyone's connected. Yeah, dude. No, they're nailing this. And in the very, very beginning, I was like, oh wow, they're just attaching like Abby to Nikki Cross, and they're attaching like, you know, Huskus to Joe Gacy, and just like, really? But no, dude, they made it fucking work. And like, yeah. All of them are invested. Also, why am I blanking on his name? The only one I haven't mentioned, tall blonde guy.
Loomis,
Dexter Loomis. Thank you. Holy Moses. We all know I suddenly get brain farts, but, Dexter Loomis letting his hair grow on the top and getting the dreadlocks, the braids or whatever. Dude. That's a good look for the who's he supposed to be? The Mercy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect look for the paragon of Mercy the Buzzard. So, dude, hats off to the fucking Wyatt Six, man. They're killing it.
Yeah. And so look, hey, you guys won me over. And again, so I was kind of keeping my distance and hope you guys did okay, but wasn't really on board, and you guys got me on board now. So, yeah, kudos.
Yeah, man. That, I mean, oh, and one last thing. Saving Shatter for this moment was one of the best things they ever did.
Yeah.
That made that, like, when the actual music hit, like, I'm not gonna lie, at one point, dude, I was crying. I got tears. Cause I was like, he's right here. It was very, very, very cool. And just, man, I'm, for as, like, hesitant and, like, I don't know, and, like, whatever I was, even with Bo being involved and even knowing how much Bo knows about, you know, Bray and what he had planned in his notebooks and all that shit, I didn't know if he would be given the freedom and the budget and the whatever to do what he needs to do, but they've done it, man.
So yeah, it was it was an excellent way to end. And my only regret is I forgot they were in Baltimore for Raw.
Dumb bitch! I can't believe you didn't know that.
I don't always, I want to give a shout out to Baltimore because Baltimore has always been a wonderful wrestling town, and they were loud for almost the entire show. Because we've seen some nights, some weeks on Raw, some of these towns are dog shit.
Hey, and I will, as much as I hate the Ravens, as much as I hate Rob's guts and whatnot, I will credit the Baltimore crowd. They were rocking.
Yes, and Baltimore is a wonderful wrestling city going back many decades, and it was great to see them, show again. And get us another, we deserve in Baltimore, to get another premium live event in Baltimore. We haven't had one since Extreme Rules 2017. I was there.
Brother, based on that crowd, I would put you on the same list that we're on where we get one a year.
Oh, well, they used to. And it's just, they fell out of rotation, for some, whatever reason. And, because I went to Payback 2015 there. Battleground 2016 wasn't DC, so, but yeah,
would you guys have anywhere you could do a PLE, like obviously you could do the PLE in the Baltimore Stadium, but, or the Ravens Stadium, but like a non-stadium big PLE?
What's it called now? I think it's the Verizon Center now.
Who plays there?
That's in D.C. That's where the Wizards and the Mystics and the Capitals play.
Okay.
And they've done PLEs there before. I went to Battleground was there. That's when they did the Shield Triple Threat was there. So they could do that. The Baltimore, like the place they went to in Baltimore is called the CFG Arena. It used to be the Baltimore Arena. It's smaller. It's like 11,000 people. So.
Might help the volume? Hey, whatever, man. It was fucking loud. That's all the
matter. Yeah, man.
I don't care. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean. It was
loud the night after a PLE. Job accomplished.
Yeah, so, I mean. Come back. come back. Come back to Baltimore, please. Because, that town deserves it. Because they always come through. So I wanted to give some love to the city of Baltimore for coming out like they did.
There you go. All right, Rob. Any editorials we have at the end of the show here? You bought some tickets to a show that I unfortunately am not going to be able to join you at.
Yes. I got a ticket to the NXT TakeOver Halloween Havoc that's going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Now, is it night 2 of Halloween Havoc, or what? What's the deal there?
It's on Sunday night.
Okay. So it is just a PLE.
Yeah. And so I will be going there because it's about...
Gentlemen and ladies, it is not just your substandard, Tuesday night show that is also named something different. This is a full-blown NXT TakeOver, which they haven't used since a while.
Yeah. So this is in, it's in October. So I'll be going up there. It's about, an hour and a half from here.
You going to the chocolate park too?
Nah. I keep it real simple when I do these trips. So I will drive up there Sunday afternoon, get my room and, hang out in the hotel, head to the arena, do the show.
That's the life of a divorcee, because when I have to do these things, I'd be like, all right, honey, we're going to go to the show in New York, but we're also going to see Rob, and we're also going to go to this place. We're also going to go to this museum. We're also going to go do that. So I have to, buffer all this shit. But Rob can just, I'm going to this show.
Yeah, so this is a drop in kind of, drop in, take in the show, and then head back home in the morning.
Excellent. Well, I hope that card is wonderful for you because, it's right in the middle of us, but unfortunately, Emily and I are going to Chicago because Emily is going to run the Chicago Marathon. So exactly 2 weeks before Rob is at TakeOver. So we will not be there for that show, but hopefully we will get many more PLE and various shows in the Eastern Corridor in the near future. But I'm very excited for you to give us that report, Rob. Rob, this is one of the best shows, aside from our Top Gun show where we barely talked about wrestling. This is one of the best shows we ever had without BJ, and I'm very proud of us.
Yes, but just like we wanted Roman to come back at the end of SummerSlam, we do want him to come back.
Bro,
take his rightful place.
Dude. At the head of the table, because that guy is the head of the table. DJ, we're throwing up the ones right now. We don't have video on because we're just trying to make this as simple as possible because we are dumb. But we're both throwing out the ones for you because we love you, and you are the tribal chief of this Mindless Wrestling Federation. Rob, do we have any other topics for the people tonight?
Yes. Okay, so last week we had our wonderful guests on to talk about their documentary. Debuted tonight. So go on the PBS app.
Yeah, it debuted tonight at 8:00 on PBS in North Carolina. So in about 14 minutes, it will be available on PBS.com. Of course, we are talking about When Giants Walked Here, the documentary about the Dighton Arena, which was the one of the sites of many, many, many wrestling events that Rob and DJ remember, and then me and my generation look at as cherished memories. So, Rob, do you have much to say about that?
I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably check it out tomorrow while I'm here. And thanks again to Chris and to Cliff for coming on last week. And yeah,
bro,
guys,
they were so awesome. They were so great.
It was, man. And look, to me, that was, that's one of the episodes that I will remember fondly, forever, man. It was such a good time.
Yeah, I think Cliff and Chris really talked about like what we try to impress upon everyone that, guys, wrestling really is for everybody. You can find something that you like about wrestling. I promise it's part of Americana, whether you like America right now or not. It's such a part of our heartbeat that isn't as recognized as it should be. And I think that, Cliff and Chris approach that topic with the love and respect that it deserves. So yeah. I can't wait to watch this shit, man. It's so exciting.
Yeah. And look, again, pro wrestling is American culture.
From baseball, it might be, I don't know, man.
Look, the first major world heavyweight champion, the history that we basically keep up with was an Italian immigrant whose family fled the Nazi invasion of Germany and came over as an Italian immigrant to America and became a hero to everybody. Okay. Like that's as American as you can get. Okay.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Bruno Sammartino is about as American as you can get. All right.
What?
And that's about as an American story, from the mid 20th century America as you can get. All right.
Right. unless you were a citizen of another country and then all of a sudden became an American when America became America.
Yeah.
Bruno's up there, man. You know, as far as the American dream.
Yeah. So, yeah, pro wrestling is American culture, man.
So, yeah, they please check out that interview. They are two very, very, very smart guys and two just sharp dudes who love wrestling. And so if you're listening to this podcast, you love wrestling or you're very lost, but we welcome you anyway. Yes. So, Rob, are there any other things, matters, anything you want to get to before we sign off for the evening?
I think that's all. And just my heart goes out to the poor guy in the AEW truck who hit the wrong button last night.
Hey, to the AEW guy who hit the right button in the truck last night, your $200 are in the mail.
We're not going to go into it, but just Google AEW and Chalupa.
Taco Bell. AEW, Taco Bell, Jack Perry.
Yeah.
That'll get you all you need to know.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a wonderful night. And DJ, we miss you. Please come back. God, we need you.
Yes.
Thank you for everyone, to everyone who listened, who's still listening, if you are. All four of you. Thank you very much. We love you so much. Yes. And we will be back next week with hopefully a three-man tripod. As always, I am the resident high flyer. I am not the man with the award-winning beard, although I feel like my beard is pretty okay. I am the man from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. What does DJ say? Bucky's tag team partner. I am Jason, and this is from the Rob the Genius podcast, the man who is Ray Cash's daddy. That's my favorite one. And I forget all your shit, man.
Yeah, the golden shovel, and I'm the guy with the faction figures and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So this is Rob. I'm Jason. Thank you for sitting with us. Rob, you want to close it out? Do you want to say the line? Can you say the line?
Call it pro wrestling, call it sports entertainment, but call it in the ring and we're out of here.
Jesus Christ, dude. How about you, like, believe in it and say it with, like, you actually, you know, think that it's our catchphrase. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it pro wrestling, no matter what you call it in the ring, and we're out of here until next week.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.